on. You're gonna start a revolution from my bed.
Hodgeodds LA, episode 4, NFC preview. I'm the coach. This is Lark.
Hello, hello.
We are taking your calls tonight live, 1-800-893-9562, talking about the NFC. We are rolling. First preseason game this week, Lark versus San Dimas.
How'd it go for you? I mean, like, we talked a little bit about San Dimas last week and, you know, how they have some skills positions.
We did. We held our own. Some bad mistakes. It was a tie, like a T-ball game, friggin' when you're 6 years old. It was a tie, but some things to build upon. I feel a little bit better about ourselves this week than I did as opposed to last week. I thought last week was dire straits, but that's, you know, that's a football season where it's up and down. It's a yin and yang of it. Thought we played pretty well. Three huge holding penalties, though, on big plays for us. And that's the thing with holding penalties. I've talked to referees in high school, and I'm an outlier with this opinion, but I think holding penalties should be 5 yards because it's so subjective.
I completely agree. I mean, being a Raiders fan, and especially the last decade of watching horrible football played by the Raiders, it's always penalty, penalty, penalty. And especially in the Jamarcus Russell era, we were in, like, 3rd and 60 sometimes because of holding penalties.
Are you blaming the Jamarcus Russell error on the referees?
No, I'm not. But it's just, but again, it's when that, like I said, your linemen are the heart and soul of your team. When they're not interested in it, they kind of get a little bit of lazy. They do a little bit of grabbing.
It's so subjective because you could call it every single play if you want to, and then all of a sudden they decide to call it on big plays.
But you're right. I completely agree. It should be a penalty, but 5 yards. 10 yards is a little extreme.
It knocks the hell out of you. It changes everything. But I thought we played all right. I mean, we are 3 days away, 4 days away from the college football season on Thursday night. We got North Carolina, South Carolina. Let the clowny show begin with the ESPN. There's another athlete they're going to be jocking all season long. SC at Hawaii. Ole Miss at Vanderbilt. I got a couple buddies who coach for Vanderbilt. Like to see them do well. Full slate of games Friday night. There are 8 games, no ranked teams because they don't want to compete against high school football. High school football is too big. They realize that all good fans are watching high school football games on Friday nights.
Now, North Carolina, Butch Davis kind of built that program up and then got let go. Was it last year, 2 years ago? What are they looking like now?
They're not ranked, and I know they lost that guy Woods, and the guy's there for the Bengals, and their number one back, good player. I don't know. I don't think much is expected from them. For some reason, they can never turn the corner as a football program.
Well, they're a basketball school.
Basketball school. Saturday, we got Bama at VTech, Georgia versus Clemson, 5 versus 8. That's the marquee game of the weekend. And we got the LSU Tigers versus TCU Horned Frogs, 12 versus 20. So it's here. It's upon us. The college season is kicking off. Did you watch the preseason games in the NFL this week?
When I could. You know, like I said, we're back at work full time. So don't get to really watch a lot of that, especially too, it is the preseason. Usually I try to catch the first half, but some really good, interesting action. I really liked what I saw kind of Terrell Pryor, you know, on the Raiders.
Great athlete, one of the highest recruited quarterbacks of all time, a 3-year starter until he got booted out of Ohio State. I think it was 3 years. Playmaker, guy who's going to make things interesting. He will win a couple games with his feet just buzzing, you know, on his own.
That's right, and we saw a little Colt McCoy tonight, and he's not making plays.
Whoa, for San Fran. He's an afterthought. I was convinced Colt McCoy was going to be a good pro. But
I think he's solid. I think he's like one of those guys that need the system. They need the system around him. He needs the skilled players around him. If he has all that, I think the Jets would be smart just to replace Sanchez with McCoy. And I think, well, then again, you need the skill set players. Right. And the Jets don't have that either. So I'm going to retract that whole 30 seconds what I just said.
Yeah, thanks for wasting my time.
I'm sorry.
That's blown out. In Detroit, all the pundits, I can't wait till Belichick gets on this film. Turnovers, guy. Turnovers and penalties at every single level you play are what kills you. If you turn the rock over, you're done. If you get dumb penalties, you're done. We sit here and we analyze all this stuff, but that's what it comes down to with penalties and turnovers. You hold on the rock, you'll be all right. You watch the Jets at all?
Not really. I mean, I catch them, especially to, like I said, when I usually go to a sports bar, you got all the TVs on, and I really don't focus on the Jets because ESPN's really ruined the Jets for me because they live and die by the Jets.
I know they have really drama. Latched on to them.
And it's just like, I'm just so tired of it. But I was watching it last night, and I was a little bit disappointed in seeing Rex Ryan keeping Sanchez in there until the fourth quarter.
It's not like Sanchez has proven anything, though. I don't mean, what do you mean? He's battling for a spot. It's him and Geno Smith. It's not like Sanchez is the Sanchez. You know, it's football. What are you going
to
do?
But here's the thing. They know what they have in Sanchez. They don't need to see him on the field anymore. If anything, they just lost their backup that they're paying $10 million a year for.
Are you saying guys can't improve? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if he was going to be better, he would already be better. He's in the 5 years of the NFL. He's played college. He's had high school. Plus, Sanchez grew up in Mission Viejo at Mission Viejo High School, where he had Bob Johnson as his coach. He's been tutored in the skill of quarterback probably since he could walk.
So you're saying he's hit his ceiling?
Yes, exactly.
Don't screw him. Throw him to the Wolves. Geno Smith, 3.5 picks.
That's rough.
Yeah, and you've been singing the praises on this very program. You were singing the praises of Geno Smith. I still think he's going to be good. What about Luke Kuechly? He is now the golden boy of ESPN linebacker, and he has taken the mantle from Brian Urlacher, and now he's going to be pumped from ESPN. The guy is a player, though.
He is badass. I really like watching him play. I mean, there's something to be said that guys that just, like, kind of like you said, Urlacher, like, I'm not a big fan of him, but Ray Lewis, he played with passion. It was a little bit more verbal passion, but those guys, like I said, they brought intensity.
I thought that was funny. I don't know if you saw what Joe Flacco was saying. He says, you know, I love Ray, but he would go on speaking, and I couldn't understand 90% of what he said. Which is fine, because if you read some of the transcripts of Ray Lewis's speeches, they're all over the place. He's talking in tongues.
Did you see the Super Bowl clip from Joe Flacco on the sideline? When it was the closing minute of the Super Bowl, and he was telling the people on the sideline, hey, if the guy breaks loose, just run the field and tackle him, because all they can do is give us a penalty. You know, that you can just give us a penalty. And, I think Joe is an interesting character.
I think he's just a laid-back guy, and I think a lot of those quarterbacks are.
But I think he speaks with honesty. You know, I don't think you get that out of – well, I mean, let me take that back again. I think a lot of quarterbacks who speak with honesty, but a lot of quarterbacks probably have that Belichick coach that kind of keep them tight-lipped, and so they only say so much. But Flacco, he seems to embellish a little bit. Not embellish, but I don't know. Seems to give a little bit more detail or color when he talks than other quarterbacks.
He's not quite as cookie-cutter and square as a lot of these other quarterbacks
are. Bingo.
That just toe the company line. I know the league is the no-fun league is always in full effect. Well, there's a segue, Lurk. We are going to talk about the No Fun League in the NFC.
There we go.
We are opening up the lines at 1-800-893-9562. We're looking for your input on the NFC. So if we're going to start off, let's start off with the top. Let's start off in the NFC North. In the NFC North, the black and blue division. We got Detroit last year, 4-12. Dangerous squad, though. You know, it's a team with a lot of talent, the highest payroll in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we talked about it last week. I don't know why I'm surprised. Week to week, I know I have trouble remembering things myself. Key additions. David Akers, one of the all-time leading field goal kickers in the history of the league. Reggie Bush, who, you know, I've sang the praises of. Tremendous talent. Do you think he can add something to that team?
Especially with the passing attack they have and how much attention you got to give to Megatron, Calvin Johnson, Bush is going to, in my mind, he's going to have his best season.
I would think. He's a guy that just has ability to make plays. Go ahead.
You were asking me about watching preseason games. Who did they play this week?
Patriots. They rolled the Patriots.
That's it. And Bush had one heck of a run. It was basically like one of the runs I saw him had. It was like watching him back in his USC days, just zigzagging across the field, making everyone look like fools, breaking ankles.
You get the guy, the ball in space, makes plays overfield. Obviously, Calvin Johnson, Megatron's a stupid name, Transformer, but he's a hell of a player. Matt Stafford, fantasy guy, puts up numbers. Speaking of fantasy, aren't you doing your draft tonight?
Yeah, we are doing it right now. So far, I got Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback and Shady McCoy as my running back.
Aaron Rodgers and Shady. Aaron Rodgers and McCoy. Hey, we're opening up the phone lines. We got a caller here. What do we got?
Got Freddie from the DTL guy.
Hey, Freddie Fredette from Lowell, Massachusetts. What's going on? What do you guys speak
good,
about?
How you doing?
I'm all right. Good to hear from you.
Welcome, Freddie.
Yeah.
What do you got to offer about the NFC North?
Well, I actually just watched off a couple of games, too. Well, obviously, the Patriots' performance, not great, but I knew I was doing a little research to call in, so I wanted to take a good look at the Lions as well. And I think that team is loaded with talent, but Schwartz is a clown.
Yeah.
I think that guy can fuck up a free lunch. I think they have a dominating D-line, fierce, crazy. They handle the Patriots all day. I mean, they can certainly put up video game-like numbers with Stafford chucking the ball to the all the receivers. And Bush is going to be a huge upgrade, I think.
I agree.
In space, he's dynamic. He'll rush for 1,000. He might even receive 1,000, something crazy like that, with all the attention they have to give Megatron down the field.
I don't think that's ever been done. Has anyone ever caught Roger Craig?
It is a possibility.
What do you have him at?
Craig, maybe.
I got him at 7-9. What do you got him at?
Right around 500.
Yeah.
With the rest of that division, you know, one guy separates everybody from that division, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I like the addition of Eddie Lacy, too, but I still think they're maybe a 10-6 win in the division. A lot of holes.
Really?
With the Packers. But I think, you know, I guess the most intriguing team to watch with me is going to be Chicago.
Yeah.
Like to see what Trestman does with Cutler. He can flat out throw the ball. I think he'll, you know, he's the type of guy that'll definitely win you a game on his shoulders, but he might lose you, too. So curious to see how this kind of CFL offense looks and if they can really replace Urlacher, which I think was aging. I think, you know, you notice a little bit of quickness. Watch them a little bit in a preseason game, too.
I think they're trying to replace him with DJ Williams, who's a guy that was highly recruited, and he was with the Broncos, and he's an athlete. I don't know.
Smaller, though.
Yeah, what doesn't matter. The guy can run. Interesting his thoughts on Green Bay. I thought Green Bay is. I have Green Bay at 11-5 this year. I just think it's a quarterback league. I think Aaron Rodgers is still one of the top three quarterbacks in the league. What do you think?
Pains me to say it, but I think he's probably the best in the league.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's kind of still ascending. You know, Brady and Manning are kind of still playing lights out, but probably their best days athletically are behind them. And Aaron Rodgers is the whole real deal. I think they got to keep him upright. They throw the ball a ton, and he takes sacks, and he runs, and he's, you know, if that goes, he goes, so do they go. So, but I did like the Eddie Lacy pickup. I think he dropped. That guy's a beast. All he does is churn out positive yards. I know he ran behind a huge Alabama line, but I always like, he just was untackable at times.
You know who else a great back, too, from UCLA? Jonathan Franklin. The guy doesn't get a lot of...
They got two guys they drafted. So I think that's... I think that should help. They've really been journeymen in that position for quite some time now.
That's right.
So I think... I mean, I think they're going to put things up offensively. I think we saw them last year exit out in the playoffs unceremoniously with that pistol offense they couldn't even handle San Francisco.
Yeah.
And so... you know, there's holes on D, I think. You know, that's still kind of problems they'll have. They'll play games, and they'll be trying to outscore teams.
What do you think about the Vikings as the last team in the North?
Yeah, Vikings, I think, you know, I don't care how many yards that, you know, they're going to rush for as a team, pretty much just, I think Ponder doesn't, I'm watching him now, and Ponder just did nothing for me.
I know it.
Rag arm, I know he's supposed to be smart, but, you know, I think they're another 8. I think I feel like the division's an 8-8. Mix up with, you know, probably the Pats just leading the charge a little bit better than that. I think it's one of the, probably, it's competitive, but it's, I think there's no really outstanding team in this division.
I think it's Green Bay, Chicago. I got Green Bay at 11-5, 10-6.
Yep.
I got Chicago at 9-7. You might be wrong. I just don't believe in Jay Cutler, to be honest with you. I just don't like his body language. I don't like him as a person. I don't know him.
Contract year for him,
yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure he'll gun it all around. You know, he can throw throw the ball. So Stafford, too. There's two guys, interesting guys, that can, you know, Stafford was a 5,000-yard passer one year. They can throw the ball, but I don't know, leadership-wise, and just making the plays when they need it with those guys. And Ponder checks in at the bottom of the quarterbacking crew in the NFC North. So that's, I think that's the difference maker. I think you got that right, Coach.
It's an interesting division, though. They all are, though, if you really look at them. You know, all these teams could just flip a switch, and you just don't know what's going to happen. So who do you saying Green Bay, or are you saying Chicago?
No, I'm saying Green Bay. Yeah. Chicago could sneak in at an 8-8. You know, 9-7, whatever the last wild card spot is. But I still think head to head, I don't think anybody really can have an answer for Aaron Rodgers when he's right.
Last thing, who do you got winning the NFC?
NFC, I'm talking about this. I'm really bullish on Seattle.
Everybody seems to be.
I just think about. You know, a year, I mean, I think Wilson was great last year, a year under his belt. I think there's just that defense plays.
They fly on defense.
They can man up on everybody, yeah. And they can get to the passer. I think it's going to be a tough out. I think that's a great division to watch, because I think I'm seeing a little bit of a step back for San Francisco, to be honest with you. So
yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Hey, thanks for the call, and we'll talk to you, Freddie. Appreciate the support, and good insight.
All right, Coach.
All right, my man.
Later.
Yeah, good insight in the NFC North. All these divisions, you really look at them, they're all crapshoots like we talk about. If you can just hold on to the ball and you can just stay away from the penalties, then you'll be all right. Next division up, we're looking at NFC South. First team we're going to talk about, Tampa Bay. Doug Martin, one of your fantasy guys, where did he go in your fantasy draft?
I can't really tell. Using my tablet, I only have so much information available to me, and so I don't know. He's already off the books.
I would think he'd be top three or four.
Yeah. I think he was pre-ranked at four, as, like I said, the number four top fantasy guy of this year, so he went pretty quick.
Josh Freeman is one of these guys that they say is just a boatload of talent, but just doesn't seem like he can keep it together all the time. They're claiming the O-line's improved with a couple guys they picked up. Karimi from, what did he play for? The Jets? I don't know. He's a guy that was supposed to be really good for them. Of course, Darrell Revis and Goldson, good players around defensively. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Shiano. I've just read too much negative stuff about him. I got him an 8-8. Again, pushing other teams in the division.
What negative information have you heard about Greg?
Greg, like you know him personally. I guess he's just a dick. As a matter of fact, a buddy of mine used to be the head of football operations at Rutgers, mm-hmm. and just did not like him. Just a mean, ornery guy that just thought he had all the answers. And I didn't like that stuff last year. He pulled with that diving at the quarterback's knees there at the end of the games.
Yeah.
I thought that was just bullshit. It's not necessary. You know what I mean? You get a guy hurt that way. Is it really worth it? You know, it's pop one of shit. Oh, we're going to play to the end. I guess. I don't know.
Well, even too, they have a big issue too with the preseason and them going all out on extra points and just getting brutal out there. People are like, it's an extra point during a preseason game. Why are you putting us through this? I think it was against the Giants, if I remember correctly, because Tom Coughlin just went freaking ballistic about it.
It was. It definitely was. It was against them. But I like Atlanta. Atlanta's the next team we're looking at, 13-3. I like Atlanta. I like Matt Ryan, BC guy. I think.
And you guys stick together, don't you?
Yeah, I guess. Julio Jones is a playmaker. Roddy White.
I like Roddy. He is. I think he's definitely one of those players that have really grown.
Great wrestler too. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Right, he was a state champion wrestler.
I'm surprised that wasn't a spiral.
OCU Manura, another pickup, and of course the big pickup, Steven Jackson.
Yes, he's a player. He's a player's player. And a fantasy player, too.
A big back that doesn't fumble the ball, that can pound it. 13-3 last year. I got him in 12-4 this year. I think they're going to be right where they left off. Stability with, the GM's name escapes me. It's too tough to pronounce. Mike Smith being there for a while. I see them being a factor. Although they did lose John Abraham and they lost a couple of their corners. 12-4. What do you think about Atlanta?
I like them. I think that's, like I said, 12-4 is definitely doable by them. I would say if they don't at least get 10 wins, it would be a failure of a season with the roster they have set up and what they did that last year.
Yeah. leads us to another team, another interesting team. These teams, you know, every team you look at, they potentially great. Not great, but a factor. Carolina. I know you were bullish on Carolina.
Yeah, I'm a big Ron Rivera fan, and I'm slowly but surely becoming a big Cam Newton supporter.
Supremely athletic.
Yeah.
You know, he's in that mold of Michael Vick. Bigger, though, is just someone that can just run, throw, do it all. He's just one of those guys that you just don't know. He could be an MVP candidate, you know, before you know it. John Stewart, good back. D'Angelo Williams, another solid back. Steve Smith, one of the great wide receivers, one of the underrated wide receivers in football in the last, what, 5-6 years? He's another guy I really like, too. Teddy Ginn. Teddy Ginn Jr. is a playmaker. Any thoughts on Teddy Ginn? He's a flies, track guy.
He's never amazed me. I mean, I've seen him do kick returns. I've seen him play wide receiver. And again, he is fast. I'm going to go old school Raiders. James Jett, he was an Olympic sprinter. He was fast too, but sometimes that's all it is. Darius Hayward-Bey, again, he was the fastest guy in the combine. Didn't really do, I mean, I don't know. I don't think speed, you didn't need to have more than speed. Like Wes Welker. Wes Welker is not known to fly, but Wes Welker is so productive because he has a versatile skill set. He's somewhat fast. He's somewhat agile. Great hands. Like I said, I think you need the complete package. I don't think Ginn has the complete package.
Well, I don't know about that. 2 years ago, I think that Ted Ginn plays in that playoff game that the Niners would have went to back-to-back Super Bowls. Now, here's one big knock on Carolina. You know who's calling plays for him?
No.
Mike Shula. Retread.
Really?
Don Shula's kid. Mike Shula is the one calling plays for him. What has Mike Shula ever proved?
Well, he was the Alabama coach for a couple of years.
Yeah, he stunk.
Yeah, he didn't really do much.
And that's a black mark on the history of Alabama football. But Cam, another ESPN darling, he's one of these guys. He's one of these guys that, you know, he could be an MVP type guy. Next team we got in the NFC South, interesting division. New Orleans playing tonight. With Sean Payton back and Drew Brees still being one of the top quarterbacks in the league, another team that could easily... I got them at 10-6. Any thoughts on New Orleans?
When it comes to New Orleans, they're all offense, no defense. And so until they can at least show some life on their defense, I'm going to say 10 wins is probably their ceiling. But I'm going to say about 9-7.
They missed the playoffs last year at 7-9.
And like I said, everyone's saying, it's like, oh, Sean Payton's going to be shipped back. Sean Payton's going to be back. I need the proof that the coach is that big a deal, because we saw the Colts last year. The Colts were without their head coach for a couple games. Bruce Arians did a fantastic job as well.
True, but Sean Payton was a play caller. Remember this? Remember Sean Payton was calling plays for the Giants and they stripped him of those duties? Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, the Jim Fossil, he said, it didn't work out. They stripped him his plate, which is just like ripping a badge off a cop's chest. You know what I mean? But he landed on his feet. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but he landed on his feet, ended up going with Parcells. I think that's a real wild card team. Matter of fact, I have them winning the wild card in that division as well. Here's how I got the NFC South breaking down. I got Atlanta 1, New Orleans 2, Tampa 3, Carolina 4. Could easily change. That's why they play the games. Next division we got up, NFC West. NFC West. This is the division that everybody's high up on. First team up in the NFC West, Arizona Cardinals. Last and probably least. New coach, speaking of Bruce Arians, your boy, head coach of Arizona. And they got a new quarterback, Carson Palmer. We think of Carson Palmer. You got a chance to see him play last year.
I wanted to be a Carson Palmer fan, but the guy really kind of let us down. I don't think he's a leader. I don't think he's as good a leader as people say or that he's been given credit towards. I think Carson Palmer is an average quarterback. He's an average football player. I don't really have a lot of respect for him, but I don't think he does a bad job either.
Right. He's a solid guy. He's a guy. It's a guy that we have that. Oh, we got a call in. We got him. What do we got here? We got Slush Fredette. from Nashua, New Hampshire, calling in, wants to talk about the NFC South. How you doing, Slush? Oh, I guess he must have got dropped. I don't know. It keeps coming in and it seems to drop. But moving along. NFC West, Arizona Cardinals, Carson Palmer, Carlos Danby, good middle linebacker out of Miami. Another good pickup for them, Rashad Mendenhall. It's the guy who pounded the ball. Oh, I can barely hear you. Hello?
Hey, say hello to your caller.
Hey. Hey, hello, it's Carlos. Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
You hear me, Coach?
I got you. What do you got? What do you want to talk about today?
I heard an intro for a Slush Fredette.
Yeah.
And felt a little bit insulted. I almost hung up.
Oh, sorry. Hey, who's this?
Oh, Bruce.
Yeah? Where are you calling? What do you want to talk about?
Jacksonville, Florida. Calling about the NFC West. Heard you guys shift your attention there.
Yeah, I went to the NFC West.
But my division, Coach.
Interesting division. What do you got to add?
Well, I missed a little bit talking to your call screener there, but I heard you guys starting to talk about the Cardinals. I got to agree with Lurk. Palmer's not doing anything for me in that division.
Yeah.
And even if he does, who's he going to throw to? They've got Fitzgerald. They've got their number two receiver, caught two touchdowns last year. I don't even know where he came from. Michael Floyd, I don't know anything about him. They're not going to do anything. I mean, it's going to be a slight upgrade over the cold, skilled mess that they had going on, but they're not going to do anything. Bruce Arians is not going to be able to, you know, shave his head and carry this team on a wave of emotion to anything better than 5 wins, in my opinion, as I look up and down that schedule.
Yeah, I got him at 5-11 as well. Who do you like in the division? Who do you like in the division?
Well, I mean, you know, if we're going to be fair, you know, we could talk a little bit about the Rams, but really this is a two-team division. This is the Seahawks and the 49ers. You look at those two, you know, and quarterback position, Kaepernick and Wilson, you know, are they the new Brady Manning moving forward for this next generation of quarterback athletes? Who knows? I don't know. Right now I like Kaepernick a little bit better. I think he does everything that Wilson does and is just taller, more athletic, a little bit more of a complete package, a little bit more of an upside. Anything happens to those two, you know, that, you know, they're both sunk if anything happens to those two. But relatively speaking, 49ers have a little bit more behind Kaepernick than Seahawks, Dome's Flynn, and they've got Brady Quinn, Tavares Jackson behind him. So, you know, anything happens to Wilson or he doesn't take care of himself, Seahawks are done.
Does anyone know what Alex Smith's cap hit would have been if they would have kept him?
No idea.
Because, like I said, if
probably
the Jets are...
Heard.
Because like I said, if the Jets are keeping freaking Sanchez and he's going to be a $10 million payday, you just mentioned if Kaepernick goes down, the 49ers are, you know, up shit creek without a paddle. You know, it might have been worth just to keep Alex Smith around just for that fact. I mean, given the read option, and we don't know how durable quarterbacks are going to be in that new phase of offense. So
yeah,
we've seen
but,
the NFL.
But why hold back his career? You know, as a guy who can play, yeah, get some value from him.
It's a business.
It's such a big if. If he gets hurt. And it's a definite, he's going to be a distraction, right? And there's going to be...
Touche.
I think Kaepernick firmly had the job, but there's always going to be that media circus of Kaepernick Smith, and you just get that out of there. Harbaugh did not have, you know, sort of an environment in that, organization yet where he could bury that kind of, you know, distraction. So just let him go. Let him move on.
You think Frank Gore still got something left in the tank for that team?
I think so. I think Kaepernick's emergence, along with some of the receivers there, is going to really help him out. They brought in Anquan Boldin this year. Would have been really nice if Crabtree was, you know, healthy, but, you know, Achilles heel, the literal and proverbial Achilles heel of the offense there. I think that's going to help him.
Take a look at that schedule, though. First game, got Green Bay at home. Second game, at Seattle. I'm talking about San Francisco now. At Seattle. Playing Atlanta at home. At New Orleans. Got Indy at home. Got Houston at home. At Washington. But, yeah, I got him at 10-6. What do you think?
I actually have them a little bit better, I think. I have them at 11-5.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Seattle then. Let's get in a little bit of Seattle. What do you think about Pete Carroll and the job he's done there?
You know, he's done a good job so far, but you know, he's a college coach. It's always difficult to know how long that sort of, you know, rah-rah emotional guy is going to carry you in the NFL. I don't know that he would be doing anything there right now if he didn't happen to grab Russell Wilson, you know, when he grabbed him. I don't think Matt Flynn would have been building an offense around Matt Flynn that would have taken them as far as they went last year. So, you know, I think for a coach like Pete Carroll, it's being in the right place at the right time. Same thing that happened, you know, happens to a lot of coaches. You got to have the players to be a great coach. And he's finally in a situation now where for a little while, he's got Marshawn Lynch and, you know, still at the tail end of the prime of his career. He's 27. He's not quite over the hill yet. He's got Russell Wilson emerging. And they just, you know, unfortunately, it would have been great if Percy Harvin could have stayed healthy. They sort of mortgaged their future to get Percy Harvin there to help Russell Wilson. And he, you know, who knows if he'll be back this season now, but he's always had that history. I guess that's a risky take. But, you know, I think he's putting together the kind of, you know, offense with the kind of players he wants, and this is, you know, that's what you got to do as a coach. That's half the battle, is just getting the players.
You know, when you talk about Carroll, being in Southern California, we hear a lot of bashing about him because the way he left USC. So there's definitely your Pete Carroll haters, but at the same time, you got a lot of Pete Carroll supporters. I've always been neutral with him, but the one thing that really stood out to me, it was either a year or 2 years ago, I was hearing Teddy Bruschi in an interview, and he said that he would have never been the defensive player he was if it wasn't for Pete Carroll. He said that Pete Carroll taught him so much about the defense, how to prepare, what to look for, and he credits a lot of his success on Pete Carroll. And when you go back and look at those Patriots days, they were not bad. I mean, they weren't fantastic either. But I like to just pigeon-tail Pete Carroll as a college coach. I don't think you're giving him full credit.
I like to shit on Pete as well, but I do think he knows what he's doing because he's calling the shots there personnel-wise.
Yeah.
And he was the one who went out and got Russell Wilson, who was a guy I was always high on. You know, he's a great athlete, pro baseball player. Went to two colleges and tore it up there. But, yeah, I think Seattle's for real. I think they are fast as hell in defense. We talked about that earlier. Want to talk about the Rams at all, Jay?
Well, you know, Rams are the Rams. I don't think they'll be the worst. I think the Cards will be the worst in that division. I think, you know, Sam Bradford is sort of tapered off a little bit in the, you know, what people thought he would be, but this is going to be his year to prove whether he's the franchise or not. They brought in Jake Long, which is a huge upgrade to that offense. They lost, you know, Steven Jackson, a couple of guys, but I think they've replaced him with some young guys that show a lot of promise. So, you know, this is the chance for them to really find out, is Sam Bradford going to be the engine that makes this car run? Are they going to be able to keep up, you know, not entirely this year, but at least sort of be on the same field with the 49ers and the Seahawks and have a good foundation moving forward towards that. And so I think this is really the year for them to prove that. I think they got a big steal on defense in Alec Ogletree. I think a lot of teams really balked on him because of that DUI, maybe some off-the-field issues. But he doesn't strike me as a bad character guy, and he strikes me as a guy that's really going to dominate for them. So, you know, they're not going to – I don't think they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win the division. But, you know, depending on how Sam Bradford and the offense responds this year to the, you know, the challenge, that we'll know if they have any future to look forward to.
I agree. Wrap up the division. What do you got them in order?
I got the Niners on top. I got the Seahawks just below them. I got the Rams and Cardinals both trailing pretty significantly far behind.
Yeah. Who do you got winning the NFC?
Oh, 49ers. Oh, no, I'm sorry. NFC total?
NFC total.
Probably the 49ers still. I mean,
yeah.
Packers, you know, they got the best quarterback, but I like more pieces on the 49ers team. So we'll see. You know, we always make these predictions, and the Giants always, you know, somebody like that always comes up and just makes us look like fools. But right now I'm going to go with the 49ers to make it back again.
Well, it's good. You know, it's all prediction. That seems to be the standard. Appreciate the call. We'll keep in touch.
All right, Coach.
Thanks, my man.
Great.
That leaves us with the NFC East. Lurk, I know you got a lot of opinions on the NFC East.
The NFC
East. Please, lead us to the promised land.
The NFC East, I think, is going to be a dogfight because I don't think there's, you know, a lead dog in this pack. They're all, when we talk about records and predictions, I think the best team's going to be around 9-7. I think the worst team's going to be around 7-9. And so, like I said, I think it's going to be just they're going to scrap it out to the end.
When you sit and look at all these teams, though, you can talk yourself across the board. Oh, if this goes that way, they'll go 7-8, 7-9, 8-8. But no, I agree with you. I think this is another division that's up for.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with the Cowboys. Last year, they were 8-8. They were third in their division. And basically their offense was great when it came to the pass, but their offense really shit the bed when it came to rushing. They were third in pass, 31st in rushing, and their defense was just awful. I mean, their pass defense was 19th. Their rushing defense was 22nd. And so, unless we're going to see improvements there, I don't really see the Cowboys moving up in that division again.
They went out and they got Grandpa Monte Kiffin to go run the defense for them. And they went when Bill Callahan, I believe, is calling the plays for them. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was going to kind of mention to you that Garrett got his play calling duties stripped of him this year, as we were talking about
Sean Payton
getting his vasectomy a while back.
They lost any key loss?
Well, the one thing they lost was Felix Jones, which has kind of an interesting story because he ended up signing with the Philadelphia Eagles, which is another NFC East team. And I thought Felix would be a perfect fit in that new offense that they're going to be running there. And then all of a sudden, Philly just traded him to Pittsburgh.
That's right.
And I don't see Felix Jones being a Pittsburgh Steeler type of running back.
No, I agree.
And so So he's kind of has an interesting tale there, but they got DeMarcus Murray. But the thing is, him and Felix Jones only combined for about 1,000 yards rushing last year, but they have 2,000 yard receivers, Dez Bryant, which we know is a playmaker, and they have Jason Witten as well, who's their tight end. But again, he's a 1,000 yard receiver. But their first pick I like. Because the one thing that the Cowboys have always been criticized for, especially in the Tony Romo era, is he's always running for his life in their offensive line, and so they went with an offensive center right away. They got Frederick from Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, Russell Wilson, he had those oak trees of offensive linemen that just protected him. And so I think that was a smarter play. But at the same time, Murray, going back to the running back, he has fumbling issues. So...
You know, Tony Romo's an interesting character. You know, I think this is a year he's going to turn the corner. You look at the stats with Tony Romo, and he's a guy who consistently has stats. He has the best career fourth quarter quarterback rating active in leagues. And everybody talks about him, he can't win the big games and he chokes. Stats prove otherwise. I think, and I'm not a Cowboy fan, believe you me, I am not a Cowboy fan, but I think Romo's going to have a good year. What do you have him at?
I'm at 8-8.
Yeah.
Again, just like I said, middle of the road.
I got him at 10-6. I think this is.
I think you're a generous guy by that.
Well, I am a generous man.
Anyways, let's move to Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia, I have them basically second in the NFC East this year. I think Michael Vick is one of the guys, if he's on his game, he's unstoppable. If he is playing to the best of his ability, I don't care who you are. What kind of athlete you are on defense, Michael Vick will burn you. And so with that kind of trump card, the Philly could be interesting.
The Philly? Not the young Philly. No, I agree. We sat here and we talked about Bad News Kennels with a Z and how talented Michael Vick is, right? He is a wild card. And Chip Kelly, what do you think of Chip Kelly?
I'm just curious because I don't, again, I liked what he did at Oregon. I liked, like I said, watching the Pac-10, now Pac-12. I liked what he was doing there. And I'm really curious to see how that's going to translate to the NFL. So I really don't have any opinions yet. I liked what he did in college. I just don't know if it's going to translate. Again, Philadelphia Eagles, same issue as the Cowboys. Defense, horrible.
They don't tackle.
I mean, it's like their rushing defense is 23rd. And the thing is, their passing defense was 9th, but the thing is, people were running the ball all over them. I mean, they cut Nnamdi Asamoah this offseason because, again, he was horrible. And now he's with the 49ers. And so that's where their kind of stats are deceiving. But, again, their defense is just bad. The big thing is Shady McCoy. He had 840 rush yards, almost 400 receiving yards, only played in 12 games. Then you have Macklin, DeSean Jackson. They almost combined for 17 receiving yards. And so they have playmakers.
By the way, that might be the best name in pro football right now, Shady McCoy.
It is pretty cool. I like it. But the one guy that I kind of really kind of feel sorry for, but I don't because he's still going to one hell of a paycheck, is Nick Foles. A lot of the media are really bragging him up saying he's looking fantastic, and Mike Vick was already named the starter. So who knows? Maybe like they talk about Terry Cousins always being involved in trade talk. Maybe Nick Foles might be in that trade talk too if one of the quarterbacks goes down soon. Next on the list is the Giants. Again, the theme of the NFC East is horrible defense. Giants. Just,
1 second. What do you got him at? I got Philly at 7-9. You said 8-8?
I got him 9-7.
9-7. All right, turn the corner. Go ahead, Giants.
Okay, Giants. Basically, again, horrible defense. They ranked 28th in the pass. They ranked 25th in the rush, which does not seem like a Giants team because usually they kind of hang their hat on linemen, defense, solid football.
Pass rush.
Pass rush. But then at the same time, if you look at the draft picks, they just drafted offensive linemen and D tackles. Pretty much. And so they're restocking the shelves. I think they kind of saw it's like our bread and butter, or basically our cabinet, they're keeping the bread and butters empty. And we need to fill that cabinet back up. The one thing they got the first pick, Justin Puig from I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name right, from Syracuse. I know he's a big dude, but they also drafted Ryan Nassab in the 4th round. Or am I saying his name right?
That's the quarterback from Syracuse?
That's the quarterback from Syracuse. He was projected to be a possible first or second round pick.
Right.
But the one thing that really kind of stood out when they drafted him is their GM basically stated that we hope he never sees the field.
Why? Oh, because it would
be Eli Manning. Yeah. And I was just like, that is a bold thing to say on draft day when you're drafting a quarterback in the 4th round. That, yeah, we're happy to have him, but we hope he never sees the field. And so I was like, oh, you know, again, I love when you got that brutal honesty when it comes out on people.
I like Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin has been a winner everywhere he went. And actually, I have a good friend of mine. I'll say him by name. Ryan Roeder is actually coaching on that Giants staff. I don't care. I think the Giants are due for a swoon. I think the Giants have been playing on house money. I think they got shit lucky twice to go to the Super Bowl and win it. I have them at 6-10, but you feel otherwise.
I think the ceiling of this division is 9-7. I got Philly at 9-7. I got the Giants at 9-7, and it's just going to be the tiebreaker between those two. I have the Giants and Philly at the top of this division. Last but not least, we have the Redskins. Redskins love to make headlines with RG3 and Shanahan when they're supposed to squabble with each other.
I don't know what that is all about. That's such a manufactured ESPN story.
But the thing is, you're right. You're exactly right. ESPN loves to do that kind of crap. But the thing is, I love about the Redskins that no one's really talking about is Alfred Morris. They were number one in rushing last year. That guy was a rookie running back, and he destroyed. I mean, not destroyed, but he looked awesome. He carried the team, and RG3 gets all the credit. But they were the number one rushing team. Alfred Morris, he was almost the leading rusher for the NFL.
I think that's a lot to be said for Mike Shanahan. I got a lot of respect for Shanahan because he's a guy who had a ton of success doing what he did in Denver, obviously. He was a great play call for San Fran and head coach for Oakland for a while. And he completely...
while? 2 weeks?
Yeah. Was that that long? Was that short of time?
It was a matter of weeks.
But there's a guy who's, you know, probably in his mid-60s, been around forever, really changed the way they called offense to fit their talent. And that's what leaders do. They take their talent and they mold their game plans around talent. And they did a great job last year and got guys like Alfred Morris and RG3 to have great, great seasons.
And again, and while he's in Denver, he had multiple 6th-round draft picks be Pro Bowlers.
Well, so, Terrell Davis, names escape me.
But yeah, then like I said, then he just had that stable of running backs. Every time he put a running back there, it was 1,000 yards.
It was a scheme, and he got it out of him.
But the one thing I also love about Shanahan, and again, I hate to say it, you know, like I'm not a big Shanahan fan because just, you know, being the Raider that I am.
But, he said himself a Raider.
but I also love when he drafted Kirk Cousins. I think that was just a great choice. I would love Kirk Cousins in college at Michigan State. And when RG3 went down, Kirk Cousins ended up with a 69% completion rating.
Or not
completion rating, but completion percentage. And I think that was just a smart choice. And people are already talking about Chris Mortensen was mentioned, ESPN guy. He was mentioning that basically talks about trading for Kirk Cousins already at a number one pick. That's where his value's at.
Yeah, and they got Pat White back there for him, too. Remember Pat White?
Yeah, for Dallas.
Well, West Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was. I played for Miami. I think he did. But he's a stud running, stud quarterback as well. And this new system. I was thinking about this the other day. Guys like Vince Young were about five years too late. I think if Vince Young got into this Ed Reed, zone read system, Vince Young's career would have been something more than it's been. But did you see that he just got the backup job at Green Bay?
I think that's a good pickup. And if anything, if Vince Young, if he still needs to mature, if he still needs to learn, I think that's a perfect place for him.
How about this bullshit? Getting back to RG3, a couple things in RG3. He's a strange fella, but he's wearing this Operation Patience shirt. Did you see that? It came out on the field for a warm-up.
I didn't see the shirt, no.
He's wearing a t-shirt that said Operation Patience, so I guess that means, you know, he's coming back, be patient.
Oh, I get it.
NFL fined him $10,000 for wearing that shirt.
What?
Because it wasn't NFL sanctioned. Roger Goodell and his Gestapo-like tactics, micromanaging every single little thing.
Goodell and his hammers of hell.
Ugh, please. Another thing about Robert Griffin, I don't know if I've mentioned this. I feel like I mentioned it, but I've talked to people. Did you see that rap video we made?
No.
Did I talk about this before? I get my signals crossed.
I don't think we've mentioned this. No.
Anyways, he made a rap video with his wife.
What?
Yeah, and he's wearing a mask. He's wearing like a Hulk mask, and all they keep saying over and over again is pop, rock, then tootsie pops. Pop, rock, then tootsie pops, which I don't know if you followed the Jodi Arias case. Anyways, Jodi Arias, and it was the girl that killed that guy. Yeah, you do know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's what it's from. I guess she was giving him blowjobs with, pardon my French, giving him blowjobs with pop rocks in her mouth, and he was violating her with tootsie pops. RG3 is a strange fella. You know, you hear him talking.
He does very well in front of the camera.
He does, but he's just, there's something off about him. I don't think he's going to have a long career.
Well, the way he plays, no. Right. I mean, that's why I think drafting Kirk Cousins was super smart, because even like with RG3 in the news right now, I don't think he's smart enough to control himself.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think he's dumb. I think he's just a little weird. He's a different generation. He's what I like to call the hairless generation. This just quirky, like, look at me. I'm going to walk around with the Shrek backpack, and I'm going to walk around with sandals and, slippers on. Thank you. And slippers in this whole, you know, I'm going to act like I'm 12 years old even though I'm 23.
Anyways, to finish up on the Redskins, Alfred Morris had 1,600 rushing yards last year.
That's
again, as a freshman, it was fantastic.
Freshman?
I'm sorry. As a rookie. I think that was fantastic, and I don't think he got enough credit. Pierre Garçon was their leading receiver with only about 633 yards. They have no first-round pick for a couple years because of the RG3 gamble. We'll see if it works out. Their first pick this year was a corner in the second round, David Amerson out of NC State. And so, again, I like to see that in the NFC East, the defense is crap, but a lot of players or a lot of teams were drafting defense right away.
Garçon, coffee. What do you got him at? I got him at 8-8.
I have the bottom at 9-7. Or excuse me, 7-9.
Significant drop off. What do you got? What wrap up the division?
And so I got basically Giants, Phillies at the top, Skins, Boys at the bottom. Again, I think the best is gonna be 9-7. I think the worst would be 7-9. I don't think there's a horrible team in here, but I don't think there's a world beater either.
Huh. We are mirror images of each other because I got Dallas. So I mean reverse. I got Dallas number one. I got Washington 2. I got Philly 3, even though they're going to make some noise. It's going to take them a year or two to really get acclimated, even though they are going to be another one of the ESPN darlings. And I got the Giants. I just see them falling off. I got them last in the division. Screw them. Let's wrap it up. I got for the NFC, I have Atlanta with the 1 seed, Green Bay with the 2, Seattle with the 3, Dallas with the 4. Those are your division winners. I got San Fran at 5 and New Orleans at 6 with the wild card. What do you got?
To be honest with you, I'm going to skip this because I don't really kind of believe in this part. So I'm going to leave mine secret.
Too early. I got Atlanta winning the NFC. I think it's their time.
I do too. I think they're the top dog.
I think it's their time. I think, you know, Mike Smith and that creepy get on the bus commercial. Do you remember that get on the bus commercial when he looks back and looks like a pederast? Anyways, they show
spiky,
those
spiky gray hair.
Yeah, they show those get on the bus commercials, which I can't stand, but we'll see. You know, they got every year they got these commercials that you can't stand, like a rock, which they show over and over and over again. Well, that's the NFC, and that brings us to a segue to a segment I like to call Spirals. What do you got? My first spiral is Oakland Raiders. Do you know they were not originally the Oakland Raiders for the first 9 days of existence? Do you know what they were?
No.
No. They were the Oakland Seniors with the little... No bullshit. With the little teal day over the end. They were the Oakland Seniors.
Do you know any reason why they changed it up or they gave it up? Or
no, I don't know why, but I just think it's because it's a shitty name.
That it is.
I think the Raiders is just a way cooler name. Throw a spiral back at me, Lurk.
All right, well, let's go with your little area. What are Penn State's original colors?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm going to say brown and white.
It was black and pink. And then there was an unfortunate accident that happened to some baseball uniforms where the pink faded to white, and they just decided to change the school colors because they liked how it looked.
Cite your sources. That's hearsay. I think you made that up. Here's another.
I got the book right in front of me, buddy.
Here's another Oakland Raiders spiral right at your dome. The Minnesota Vikings were originally an AFL team. And the NFL got to him and talked him out of joining the AFL. He said, look, we'll get you in the NFL next year. So the Vikings said, fine. Walked away from the AFL, ended up becoming an NFL team. Last second replacement, Oakland got a franchise, which became the Seniors and the Raiders. What happened that year was Oakland ended up with the Vikings picks. Vikings picked everybody for the Oakland team, and Oakland just took their draft pick and walked on and became the Oakland Raiders with the Vikings picks. I thought that was interesting.
That is. So is there a question to answer? Or is it
nah, it wasn't a question. It's just a spiral.
Just a spiral. All right. All right. Let's go back to you. Warren Sapp just got inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. But in high school, he played two positions. What was his other position?
I'd say he was a fullback.
That is incorrect. I'll give you a second guess.
Tight end.
I'll give you a third guess.
Quarterback.
Punter. He was a punter, and his high school average was 43.5 yards per kick.
Huh. Interesting. Another interesting thing, and again, this isn't a question. This isn't the form of a question, but did you happen to see that video with Bill Cowher and his girlfriend? Bill Cowher's girlfriend evidently goes by the name of Queen V.
Isn't Bill Cowher married?
No, no. His wife passed away from cancer a couple years ago.
Oh,
she's
excuse me.
His girlfriend is a metal guitar player named Queen V. You gotta check out this video. Bill Cowher's in it. He looks like, you know, he's got this mascara on his face. It's like Iron Maiden for crying. You gotta check that out. Throw a smile back at me. I got a question for you after this one. Go.
All right. What NFL player played on both the 0-14 Bucks in 1976 and the 17-0 Dolphins?
Woo-wee. Nick Bonacani.
Larry Ball.
Never would have got that one. Last one coming at you. Two players. 16 consecutive years with multiple touchdowns. So
16 consecutive years?
With more than one touchdown. 16 consecutive years. Two players. Both of them played in your lifetime. Give them to me.
Well, Jerry Rice.
No.
Oh.
One of them comes from your team. Come on. Dead air. There's nothing worse.
I know. You froze me with that. You know what? Like I said, dead air sucks. So just give me the freaking answers. I am not going to get this.
Marcus Allen.
Oh, my God. We even talked about this the other day.
And the other one really, really hit me for a loop. Irvin Fryer.
What?
Irvin Fryer and Marcus Allen, the only players in NFL history to go 16 years in a row scoring more than one touchdown. Last spiral on you.
I'm out of spirals, buddy.
You do shoot blanks, don't you? What do you think about that fine they put on that guy for making that hit, even though the NFL put it on their website as being this great hit? John Bostic makes this great hit. The next day, they turn around and fine him $21,000.
I think it's ridiculous. Again, I think Roger Goodell is really not doing his role as the commissioner when they're finding people because of these hits. And again, especially when we saw the hit that Dustin Keller had to take with the guy going low on him. Now he's fucked up his knee.
There's no consistency.
Again, that's the thing. There's no consistency with the call. Well, here, there's no consistency with the calls in combination with the fines.
Speaking of consistency, we got to wrap it up. Give us our Twitter account.
It is at HardYardsLA. Plus, you can get us at email, HardYardsLA @gmail.com.
That's about it. Coming at you next week. We got 1 week away. 5 days, 4 days away from college football. 10 days away from the NFL. Next Thursday, we got who's playing? Denver and Baltimore. Not this Thursday, the following one. And we are back at it. We got a game this weekend, Friday night, against the Chino Cowboys. Come check us out. I won't tell you who we are, but you can figure it out based on that information. I'm the coach. This is Lurk.
Hello.
Till next week.
Have a good night.